Today on Telling the Truth, Stuart Briscoe once again looks to the story of Joseph for wisdom on how to age gratefully. He'll begin in just a moment. Your generosity helps ensure broadcasts like this one keep going out around the world so you and others can experience life through the teaching and resources of Telling the Truth. And as thanks for your gift today, we'll send you Jill Briscoe's six-message series, Searching. This powerful series will help you discover that the deepest longings of your soul are all just waiting for you in the pages of Scripture. This special offer ends tomorrow, so don't miss out. Call today to request yours. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Stuart with How to Grow Old Gratefully.
We have followed the story of Joseph, and we've seen him in all kinds of situations. We saw him as a brash teenager. We saw him as a young man victimized and abused. We saw him conducting himself wisely and well in a place where he was betrayed. We've seen him in a situation where he was falsely accused and unjustly imprisoned. We've seen him conducting himself so well because God was with him that God was able to give him success in whatever he did. We have seen him rising to the pinnacle of power, but in Genesis 48, which we look into today, we see him in a different environment. We see him in the environment of the family. We see him as a man in middle age, at the prime of life, in the context of dealing with his aged father, and at the same time handling the concerns of his young sons. It's a generational thing. The old man has got old. Joseph is growing older. But the youngsters are in the business of growing up too. And as we look at these three generations, I believe we can learn some things about growing old gracefully and gratefully. Let's take Jacob first. Jacob is now having to come to terms with failing faculties. That's one of the delights of growing older. When he was young, he was very vigorous. He was very active. He traversed the land. He was moving all over the place. Now, when they want to get him from Canaan down to Israel, they know he can't make the journey, so they send special carts for him. He's 130 years of age when he finally arrives in Egypt. When Joseph brings his sons to meet their grandfather, Jacob, we notice that Jacob is suffering from short-term memory loss. That happens to us as we get older. It's rather fascinating to me to notice that Joseph has brought in his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, brought them in to their grandfather. They've been there some time when suddenly the old boy turns around and says, "Who are these?" Well, that happens. You forget who your own grandchildren are. You forget their names. You call them by the wrong names. But as far as Jacob is concerned, we learn something very, very critical about getting old. It is this: you may have failing faculties, but you do have residual resources, and they are designed for you to make crucial contributions. There is something that the older generation can and must continue to contribute to the succeeding generations. Jacob teaches us that. The first thing that I want you to notice about the crucial contribution that Jacob makes in this story is that he gathers the family around and reminds them of spiritual roots. This is what he says to them in verse 3 of chapter 48. "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and there he blessed me." A little bit later on, he talks about, "May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked." In other words, because he's an older man, he is spending a lot of his time living in the past. This is a source of amusement to younger people, that older people seem to spend a lot of time living in the past. But we shouldn't be amused. We should realize why they do it. It's because they're going to have more past than future. And if you know that you're going to have more past than future, then it is perfectly logical that you will spend a lot of your time thinking about it. But there are lessons of the past, including the reminder of spiritual roots. Some of you can do that. Some of you can look back and you can say to yourself, what a tremendous advantage I had. When I look at my parents and I look at my grandparents and I look at my great-grandparents and I recognize that they were the ones who invested in me a heritage. And whilst I, as a younger person, have to have a sense of immediacy about me, that everything is in the now, what they are able to remind me is this, that the now is the result of the past. And that if I don't have a sense of the past and I don't have a sense of roots and I don't have a sense what was involved in bringing me to be the me that I am, then there'll be a major deficiency in the person that I have become. And one of the crucial contributions that the older people can and must make is they must bring a reminder of spiritual roots to bear. Jacob not only reminds them of the family of spiritual roots, he also refreshes their memory concerning spiritual promises. This is what he says. God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and there he blessed me, and he said to me, I'm going to make you fruitful, and I will increase your numbers, and I will make you a community of people, and I will give this land as an everlasting possession to your descendants after you. The third thing that he does is he rehearses the details of his own spiritual experience. He rehearses the details of his own spiritual experience. And you'll notice as he talks about his spiritual experience, he does not focus on himself. He focuses on the one who is the key to his spiritual experience. This is what he says in blessing Joseph. May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. Notice how he speaks of the God whom he knows personally. He speaks of him as the God of Abraham, and he speaks of him as the God of Isaac. He speaks of him as the God of history. He speaks to him as the God who has proved himself to the generations. But it isn't just a case of, well, God was the God of my grandfather, and God was the God of my father. He now goes so far as to say, and God is my shepherd. It's rather interesting to notice that as Jacob begins to rehearse his spiritual experience, he did the same thing to Pharaoh. 17 years earlier than the incident we're looking at now, Jacob had arrived in Egypt. He had been ushered into the presence of Pharaoh. This, of course, was intended to be an overwhelming experience. I mean, Pharaoh was the big cheese. Pharaoh was the one who was in control of everything. In fact, Jacob was coming down there totally dependent on Pharaoh's graces. But no one seemed to have told Jacob. And he comes in, 130 years of age, and totters up to Pharaoh sitting on his throne and proceeds to bless Pharaoh. Pharaoh is thinking to himself, this old man doesn't seem to realize he's come to be blessed by me. Who is he to be blessing Pharaoh? He blesses Pharaoh, and then, without being invited to, he begins to give his testimony. And you notice how he begins his testimony? He says, the days of my pilgrimage. That's how he refers to his life. The days of my pilgrimage. This is something the older you get, the clearer you understand that life is a pilgrimage. Or if you like, we can use the words of the old spiritual. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Now, the further through you've passed, the more you realize you're passing through. And the closer you come to the end of your passing, the more you realize that your passing is imminent. And therefore, you have no difficulty at all in seeing something that you ought to have borne in mind all along, but in the pressure and immediacy of youth and middle age, you forgot. And it is this, that life is a pilgrimage, that this is not permanent, that you belong to heaven, that you are made for eternity. And it's the older people who have the ability to see it sharply in focus, and are able to convey the fact that life is a pilgrimage to others who, in the pressure of life or in the excitement of life, may either be inclined to disbelieve it or too busy to ponder it.
younger generation can learn so much from the older one, a fact that is often lost in today's culture. So how do you have that influence or make yourself open to learning? Stuart Briscoe is back with much more in a moment. First, though, listen to these encouraging words from Leslie in Maryland about the ministry of telling the truth that friends like you make possible. Thank you again for your ministry. These teachings are timely and always provide good insight. God bless you all. And God bless you as well, Leslie. That's the kind of encouragement you'll help bring into more people's lives through your gift of support today as you help share the teaching and resources of telling the truth around the world so others can experience life in Christ. And we'd like to encourage you this month with a powerful resource, Joel's 6-message series, Searching. When your heart is longing for something real, a purpose and a peace that truly satisfies, only one thing will deliver. And it's waiting for you in Scripture. In Searching, Joel Briscoe explores the book of Ecclesiastes to answer the deepest questions of your heart, such as, why do I matter? Where will I find joy? And what do I really want? It'll help you find the serenity, sense of wisdom, significance, satisfaction, and security you've been searching for. This eye-opening resource is only available through tomorrow as our thanks for your gift to help more people experience life through the teaching resources of telling the truth. So request your copy right now when you call 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388 or give online at tellingthetruth.org. Let's return to Stuart now for more of How to Grow Old Gratefully.
Life is a pilgrimage, says old Jacob. He said, my life has had its ups and downs. My life has not been all it should have been. He said, my life has been full of years, but a shortage of days. That's a strange sort of saying, isn't it? It's been full of years, but short of days. I wonder what he means. I think what he means is this. I've lived a long time, but I haven't lived long enough to do all that I should have done. Or if you put it another way, I've lived a long time, and I sure missed a lot of opportunities. I've lived a long time. I've sure missed a lot of opportunities. There is a sense in which old age can be a time of regret. There is a sense in which as you age, you look back and you say to yourself, it is amazing how much time and energy and money and interest I bestowed on things of secondary or tertiary importance. It is amazing how blind I was to primary issues. It's not unhelpful for the older folks to tell the younger folks that, because it is a little reminder of the fleetingness of life, of the transitory nature of existence, and of the importance of getting priorities right. But then there's a fourth thing that the older people can do. And that is that they can relay the benefits of spiritual blessing. So old Jacob, 147 years of age, sends for Joseph and his sons. And he says, bring your boys here. I want to bless them. And it's rather interesting to me to notice that in this particular scene, who is in charge? Now, Joseph is number two to Pharaoh. He is master of the situation. No, he isn't. Old Jacob is still in charge. And old Jacob is the one now who says, I have the ability to convey spiritual blessings to these children of yours that nobody else can convey. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And to Joseph's chagrin, he then begins to bless Ephraim and Manasseh, not in the way that it was supposed to be done. You see, the special blessing should have gone to the older son and the lesser blessing to the younger son. But Jacob reverses it. He is the one who's in charge of the situation. He is the one who has insights into the situation that Joseph doesn't have. And he is the one who is able uniquely to impart spiritual blessings to these succeeding generations. And it was ever thus with older people. While all this is going on, Joseph is getting a little bit frustrated. He's getting a little bit frustrated because his father seems to be confused. And Joseph is used to running Egypt. And his father can't even recognize his two grandchildren. And so when the old boy gets his hands crossed and gives the wrong blessing to the wrong boy, Joseph tries to correct him. And Jacob will have none of it. No, he says, you're not going to correct me because I still know what I'm doing. I still know what I'm doing. I might be mildly gaga. I might have short-term memory loss. I might be shaky on my pins. I can't see very well, and I do live in the past. Granted all that, but there's still some things that I can teach you. Jacob continues to speak to Joseph in a way that I suppose only a father can talk to his son, even if his son is the second man in Egypt. He reminds Joseph of his destiny. This is what he says, I'm about to die, but God will be with you and take you back to the land of your fathers. Joseph, my boy, says the old man, to this younger man in the prime of his life, who is busy running Egypt and organizing food supplies for the whole of the east end of the Mediterranean. Joseph, my boy, listen to me. God will be with you, and he will take you back to the land of your fathers. Why is he saying that to him? He's saying that to him because there's always the possibility that Joseph will get so entrenched in Egypt, he'll forget about Canaan, the land of promise. Not only does Jacob remind his son of his sense of destiny, he also reminds him of the place of blessing. And he reminds him that God is the one who will be the source of blessing. Now, we've seen Joseph understands this, but Jacob doesn't feel it is redundant to keep on reminding him. For he knows, as the responsibilities build up and the pressures build up, it takes an unusual fortitude and faithfulness to be able to maintain the source of blessing and the sense of destiny. Joseph says something here that, of course, demonstrates to us that he has not lost his sense of calling at all. When old Jacob says to Joseph, who are these boys here? I've just had them introduced to him, you remember? He says, Joseph says, they're your grandsons. They're your grandsons. You know who they are, Papa, don't you? And no, he didn't say that. He says, they are the sons God gave me. They're the sons God gave me. Which leaves the youngest generation. The boys, Ephraim and Manasseh, standing by while all this is going on. And probably, as is usually the case when old folks are talking, and the kids are saying, this is boring, boring. They can even make the word boring, boring. But it's a good thing for the kids once in a while just to listen to the old folks talk, because they could conceivably learn something. And let me just say to our young people here that you are in the business of growing older. I know that may come as a shock to you, but you are. You're in the process of growing older. And in the process of growing older, let me encourage you to make sure that three things are factored in. Number one, as you're growing older, make sure you're growing up aware of the past. And the simple fact of the matter is this. Young people who have no sense of the past, you can bet your bottom dollar, will get it wrong. For we are told that if we do not learn the lessons of history, we are damned to repeat them. And for the old folks, and I are one, what are we called to do? We are called to recognize the fact that our faculties are failing, but that does not mean that we do not have residual resources. What it does mean is we can make crucial contributions. And it is imperative that we do. So here's the final question. Because growing old is a serious business, and I'm doing it, the big question is, am I doing it well? Am I growing older well?
Are you growing older well? Stuart Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. He'll be right back to answer a few questions about keeping your passion as you age and sharing your spirituality with the younger generation. Where have you found contentment in life, purpose, assurance? If you're still looking, you're not alone. While possessions, success, money, and relationships promise joy and fulfillment, when your heart is longing for something real, a purpose and peace that truly satisfies, none of these deliver. The deepest longings of your soul can't be found in anything the world has to offer, but they're all just waiting for you in the pages of Scripture. Discover the hope and purpose your heart is searching for in Jill Briscoe's six-message series, Searching. This powerful study explores the book of Ecclesiastes to answer the deepest questions of your heart. Walk with Jill as she looks at King Solomon's life to help you find the serenity, satisfaction, and security you've been searching for. Searching is our thanks for your gift to help more people experience abundant life in Christ through the unchanging truth of God's Word. Simply request your copy when you call today and give a gift to help keep the ministry of telling the truth going around the world. But remember, this offer ends tomorrow, so call 1-800-889-5388 to request yours now. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or give online at tellingthetruth.org. And now, let's hear Stuart answer a few questions about today's message. Stuart, how does a person grow old without growing indifferent?
Growing old does mean you will grow indifferent, but that's not all bad. In other words, when you're young, you get yourself really worked up about things that when you're old, you realize are not all that important at all. And the things that you would take very, very seriously and get deeply involved in when you were in your mid-life, for a variety of reasons, when you're old, you begin to realize that probably you picked the wrong fights. And so there is a sense in which wisdom will produce a kind of indifference of the right kind. On the other hand, if the indifference is, I'm no longer interested in life, I'm no longer interested in people, I'm no longer interested in the kingdom, I'm no longer interested in bringing God glory, etc., etc., that is a bad kind of indifference. And I would say the antidote to that is to do an inventory of what it is that you actually believe. Just do an inventory. What is it that you actually believe? And then say, Lord, this is what I profess to believe. Write it deeply on my heart so that it fires me with joy and life and enthusiasm.
Stuart, how have you and Jill given your spiritual heritage to the generations of your family?
Well, at this particular stage of our lives, we only have two generations of our family, which we can in any way influence. Obviously, we have our three children, and we have our 13 grandchildren. The first of our grandchildren recently got married, but as yet we do not have any great-grandchildren. And the reality is this: that as a parent, you can have far more influence on your children than as a grandparent you can have on your grandchildren. But we do have a role to play in both. When you recognize that you will never cease being a parent to your children, even though they are adults and don't want reminding of the fact that you're still their parent, there is a changing role there. And the way you conduct yourself in that changing role contributes to the spiritual heritage that you're passing on to them. On the other hand, a grandparent has to recognize the uniqueness of the grandparenting role, the limitations of the grandparenting role. And frankly, it's a new thing that we have to learn. And I guess the biggest thing we have to learn is when your grandchildren are small, you can dictate terms. I hear often of people saying, oh, we're going to move so we're near our grandchildren so we can spend more time with them. Well, I don't say anything, but I think to myself, all right, well, that'll be okay for a few years. But when they get into teenage, it's not a case of you moving so you can spend time in their lives. It's going to be a case of them fitting themselves into your lives in the context of their very busy social calendar. And so you're limited, but you have a unique opportunity, and that's what we are trying to do.
Thanks so much, Stuart. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Now, before we go, remember that Through Tomorrow Only, when you give to help keep Telling the Truth broadcasts like this one going out around the world, we'll say thanks by sending you Joel Briscoe's six-message series, Searching, to help you discover the key to lasting satisfaction, significance, and security. So don't miss this offer. Call now to give, and remember to request your copy of Searching with our thanks. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Next time on Telling the Truth, Stuart Briscoe shares from his series on Joseph, talking about how to live a fruitful life. We hope you'll be listening then.